Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. Okay, so today on Hustle, we're going to be speaking to Katie Tavini. She's a Mancunian mastering engineer based in Brighton. She's trusted by many artists, labels, and brands to deliver sonic excellence. Your credits include Nadine Shah, Arlo Parks, Emily Sandé, We Are the Scientists, and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Wow. Welcome, Katie. Wow, that's amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today.
All good.
Excellent. So can you tell me a bit about, just tell us a bit about yourself, how you got into music? Has it always played a big role in your childhood? Or, you know, just let us know a bit about yourself.
So, like, my dad really loves music and he always had records playing and stuff. And, like, one of my earliest memories is kind of him playing a record and me, like, running from one speaker to the other going, oh, my God, it sounds different. Like, each speaker sounds different. This is amazing. So I was really kind of fascinated with that because it seemed like a massive invention. Like, if you step away from the speakers, you can hear everything, and then, you know, if you go right up to a speaker, you can just hear some things. So my little mind was kind of blown by that. And then sounds really weird, but in school, in like primary school, like loads of kids learn instruments and I didn't, and my family's not like a particularly musical family. Like, my dad just likes collecting records and stuff, but I heard these girls in the class above me playing violin in assembly, and I was like, holy fuck, that's not what I used at the time. My language is bad, but it wasn't that bad then. but I was like, what? This is the worst thing I've ever heard. I want to be able to make that sound. So I begged and begged for violin lessons from my parents, and like they eventually let me learn violin in school, and we like borrowed a little violin from school, and yeah, just spend time practicing and not really like, I don't know, just enjoying making a racket, really. That was kind of my introduction to music. And then it kind of, you know, as a teenager, I was really into basically every genre of music. Like, you know, I hung out with the metal kids, I hung out with the ravers, I was in orchestras. So there was no, like, you know, there was no one particular genre that I liked more than anything. I just enjoyed it all. And it got to the point where I was, you know, going to uni and stuff, and I was just a bit like, I don't know what I want to do, but I definitely don't want to work in an office. I know that. So I tried an acoustics degree, and I'm not very maths based, and that was all maths based, so it wasn't a great fit. But then I did just a general music degree, and you know, there was a really little recording studies module, which was awesome. And we were basically encouraged to like treat the studio as a creative tool, and just get in there and have a go. And that was so good. And I used to spend all of my time in there. And like, I think it was like 6 months before we were due to graduate, one of my tutors was like, listen, you're always here. Do you want a job in a studio? And I was like, well, sure. Okay. I thought I'd just be making brews for people. But it turned out that I was engineering for a producer who was amazing. And it was really, really cool, but it was very like, you know, like, you know, when you've got to go into something with no fear.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm just going to do this because if I don't, I'll be kicking myself. And I'm not even going to think about the fact that I'm totally not qualified to do this. And yeah, so I kind of sort of just dived in and tried to learn as much as possible as I was doing it, really. And it was really cool. And I didn't want it to end.
Okay.
And then it didn't end. So, and it was just a really like sort of natural progression from being like a resident engineer in a studio to then sort of going freelance and starting to do a bit of production with bands. And, you know, and then one day someone on Facebook asked me to master a song. I know it was an EP and I didn't even know him. And it was like, it was almost midnight and he sent me a message. And I was like, what? All right, this is weird. I can recommend some mastering engineers for you, but like, I'm not qualified to do that. But, you know, he was really insistent. And yeah, I mastered an EP for him, like throughout the night. Like we've just bounced like different versions to and from, like overnight, and then by the morning we had a finished EP. I just said, please don't use it if it's shit.
Yeah.
but they went and used it, and then he was like, oh, do you want to master my band? And I was like, sure, why not, like that's cool.
Okay, so
get some good monitors now.
Yeah, so well, that's it. So who was this guy, and who is that band then that you did? So,
the guy was James Routh, and we still work together today. And that was about 7 years ago, and it maybe 8 years ago, I can't remember. But it was Sonic Boom 6's self-titled album, which was the second project we worked together on, and that was like, yeah, that was basically when that got released, I started getting requests for mastering from other bands, and I was like, okay, I best learn how to do this now. It's so weird, like when you start something though, or you know, when you're young, you're so kind of like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go. Whereas now people ask me to do like, you know, a project that's out of my comfort zone. At first I'm like, ooh, I'm scared. Whereas like 10 years ago I would just have dived in there. It's so weird how you change over time, isn't it?
It is, definitely. You're like, you're completely like balls deep, I think, when you're younger, aren't you? Like, I can do anything, or, you know, I'm invincible, I can take over the world. And then as an adult, you're like, ooh, well, let me see if I can fit it in my schedule, Laura. Or I'm not really qualified. And although, although there's a little bit of blagging that happens, I think generally I'm quite good at the blag. But yeah, I definitely don't jump into things as much as I would have done, say, 10 years ago.
I know, right? It's crazy.
So you've literally just had the kind of dream sound engineering life. You went to uni. Oh, which uni did you go to?
Oh, I went to Salford Uni. Big up Salford Massive.
Big up Salford Massive.
Like, I got turned down from Leeds College of Music on their production course, and that was the only place I applied to that I actually wanted to go to. And I was just thought, fuck it, I'll just go where near's home.
Yeah.
Because I know people around here, and yeah, it was just that whole thing of not wanting an office job. But actually that decision, you know, Leeds College turning me down and, you know, deciding to go stay close to home really worked out well, because yeah, it was awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got a job straight away from well, actually they offered you a job at university, which is pretty cool to then work your dream job. Amazing.
Pretty nuts. I mean, it's always been easy, like, for sure. I mean, yeah, like, I've done sort of marketing jobs, I've taught violin, I've done a lot of bar work alongside. I worked at the British Library in their sound archive for a year, transferring, like, really old recordings from tape. So I've done a lot of jobs on the side, but yeah, I've just gone like full-time freelance mastering. So it's been a long ride for sure. It's not been easy, but it's definitely like, you know, I think jumping at every opportunity has definitely made things happen quicker than if I hadn't been quite so stupid.
I think it's taking that leap of faith, isn't it? From the comfort of having a normal job to going to the self-employed world. What were your thoughts once you'd done that? Did you have a whole list of people ready to work with and jobs lined up? Or was it just I'm going to go self-employed and now I need to make it work?
It's really weird. Like, so I handed my notice in at the start of August, which was like pretty pandemic-y. You know, there was no gigs. Studios, I think, had only been open for like a month then. I think studios opened in like July. So it was risky. Like, you know, we sort of didn't know how long it was going to take, but it's, how do I explain this? It's like with mastering, you don't really get booked super far in advance. Like, I tend to get booked a week in advance for albums and a couple of days in advance for singles. So I literally don't know what I'm doing past next Tuesday.
Wow.
So wow. It's a bit of a wild ride. I mean, like, yeah, some albums are booked in a couple of months in advance, but that's quite rare. You know, when people have finished a record, then they go, right, it's on to mastering, and then they give you a call. It's really, really quick. And so it's gotten to the point where, like, for the whole pandemic, I'd been working from home for my archival job part-time, and then just, like, staying in my studio after and mastering. And it just got more and more, and I was like, I'm knackered. Like, I just used the whole pandemic to, like, work, because it's so hard when music's the thing that kind of gives you joy and keeps you going. You really want to just do it all. But then I was like, I need a break. I'm going to have my notice in. So, and that made me sad because I actually really love my job, my archival audio work. But it was just sort of a necessity of like needing to have a break.
I mean, most people go on holiday. Most people would go on holiday. You were like, no, let's hand in my notice.
Well, I mean, we had a staycation, but like we still weren't able to like get a flight anywhere and stuff because it was in the middle of everything. And yeah, so I just was like, okay, fuck it. It's now or never, basically. Like, either I'm going to end up turning people away for mastering because I'm tired and can't do it and I'm not doing a very good job, or I don't know, something's got to go basically, but I need a rest. And the first month was quite quiet, actually. Like, I noticed I had a lot more free time, but since then, I don't know where we are. What month is it? Honestly, this entire year's been a blur.
December. We're in December. I had to think about that. I was like, yeah, okay. Don't ask me what the day is.
Oh, God. Okay. So, yeah, it's been a few months now. And, yeah, I'm pretty booked up. And it's getting to that point now where I've brought a manager on board and I'm sort of working the hours that I was before I quit my job, but just from mastering. So it's it's a wild ride, but it's so weird because you literally don't know what is going to happen next week. So there's part of that like fear of, oh, I've got to do everything now because there might not be anything next week.
Yeah, I suppose because obviously that, you know, you've got bills to pay and, you know, everyone needs to carry on working, don't they? But yeah, at the same time, if you're working all hours God sends, you also don't want to burn out and it still needs to be fun without it becoming too much like a real job, even though it is a real job.
Oh, I don't want it to ever feel like a real job. I'm going to have a career change as soon as this gets old, for sure.
So I got in contact with you through the 2% Rising collective group on Facebook, which is amazing. I've got it written down here. It's a space for women and gender minorities who are music producers and sound engineers in the UK and EU. It's yourself, Suze, and Jenny. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So Jenny and I basically set up the group in, it was like a week before lockdown started here. But we'd been talking about it for a while, and we were just a bit sort of, I don't know, we were getting a bit down because there was nowhere really that we could, there's no spaces that aren't male dominated for people who want to produce and engineer. Like, there's loads of really great women in music things and groups out there, but there wasn't really like engineering and production specific.
Yeah.
So we set it up, and then Suze came on board like the week after, and yeah, we just we've just been doing that since, and it's been great. We've had weekly Zoom calls, which have been like skill shares, listening parties, socials, that kind of stuff, and it's kind of kept us going through lockdown, which has been really cool. But yeah,
I think it's one of the I think it's one of the best Facebook groups I've actually been involved with or been lucky to be a part of. It's very active, and actually, I mean, even if it's when was lockdown then, Jan, so it must be about a year old, give or take.
Right. Almost a year. I think we set it up like the first week of March. So
yeah, and there's so much interaction between people all the time. And I pay attention to the various Facebook groups, not just for the whole promotional side of things, but it's nice to see the interaction and see a group that's actually alive and people aren't just like busting in with things that are not relevant. So unless it's about music production or sound engineering, then don't bother posting anything about in that group. It's not for you. It's not about the live stream crew. It's very specific. And is it the Wednesday releases and the start of December? There's always the start of every month and every week and every Friday.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we've really worked hard to keep it active because there are really great communities out there, but they've kind of been left to sort of, you know, an example is the Normal Not Novelty community. It's not really active. People just go in there to share their shit now, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But like, we really wanted a place where we could learn from other people, because, you know, it's really hard. You know, you ask a question in a normal engineering or production Facebook group and you get a load of men telling you something that you already know, and it's just like, can you not? Please. So we wanted to make somewhere like really supportive, where it doesn't matter like what level you are. Like, if you've got a question, you can ask it. You can be like proud of your work, because I think one of the things we've really worked on over lockdown while we've been doing our weekly Zooms is getting people in the group to do an introduction.
Yeah,
and people find it really hard to do an introduction. And I've noticed at networking events and stuff, like when you meet a guy, they'll be like, "Hi, I'm Ben and I'm an engineer." But you meet a girl, and I'm guilty of this too, and it's like, "Hi, I'm Katie. I'm, you know, I do a bit of mastering, and you know, I do a bit of this and I do a bit of that, and I'm a bit nervous and I'm not really sure." But in fact, just practicing weekly, going, "Hi, I'm Katie and I'm a mastering engineer," and every single person from the group is now able to like show up and say what they are, which is such a tiny little thing, but it's crazy how many people have like fed back that that's really positively impacted their professional life. So yeah, we just wanted somewhere safe where we can sort of, yeah, where we can learn and where other people can learn if they want to learn along with us.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's really important to have that almost power statement when people ask you, you know, who are you, you know, like for an introduction, who are you, what do you do? Because then no one's ever going to remember the wishy-washy, like, oh, no. You know, I'm a DJ, like, I kind of do this, I kind of do that, and, like, you know, you sound a bit kind of hippie, no one's ever going to take you seriously. But if you're like, yeah, you know, I'm a female DJ based in the French Alps, so I do blah, 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 or for good vibes only, I've got a really cool power and statement about empowering women to follow their musical dreams and blah, 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 blah. You just need to have that, and you need to have it ready to roll. And, you know, it's good to practice it, because I've been in many a situation where I've been on a panel of judges and I've kicked myself afterwards and been like, God, damn, you just sound so silly or stupid, and you've got this. And, you know, you need to, like, just believe in yourself. But I think a lot of women, for, you know, for what I've noticed as well, it's a big confidence thing. And also standing up in front of people, whether it's on a Zoom call or whether it's in front of your friends or a couple of people, it's very difficult to stand up and talk in front of people.
Totally. Like, it still terrifies me. I'm really shy, and, like, it's just practice, though. And yeah. So I think it's been really cool to do a weekly hangout, just, you know, so we don't forget all of our social skills and end up really creepy and weird like me.
Yeah, and just wearing our pajamas at 4 o'clock in the afternoon forevermore.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, so I think we need to remember, well, one thing I always say to up-and-coming female DJs, you need to remember you're a business. So, you know, you need to kind of fix up and look sharp and, you know, make yourself look a bit better and just put your best foot forward as every opportunity that you can, because you never know where it's going to take you.
See, I really wish that someone had told me, or, like, it didn't click that, you know, you are a business, until, like, it was after I've been renting a London studio for a while, and I shared the studio with a mate, and, like, looking back, it's crazy. And, like, my half of the studio rent was £300 a month, and I was like, oh my God, wow. Shit, I have to make £300 a month, or at least £300 a month, otherwise I can't pay for the studio. And that was a really big deal. And it still didn't click at that point that it was a business. So I still wasn't, like, collecting receipts and, like, you know, keeping tabs of what gear I was buying and all of that sort of stuff. And it was only when I moved to Brighton and the rent nearly tripled for a studio that, which actually was not what I was expecting. I thought it would go cheaper in Brighton, but that wasn't the case. But, you know, it wasn't until that point where I was like, oh shit, I've got to start taking this seriously now and treating it like a business. And it actually makes a lot of things easier.
Yeah.
But it's still weird when that business is something that's your passion as well.
Yeah, when it's your dream job and you're but you still have to be, like, making spreadsheets and stuff. I was pretty much the same. For a background for me, I've got a sales and business background. I used to work in IT back in the real world in the UK before I moved to Morzine. And then being in Morzine, you know, I've done many a DJ gig. And before I decided to take that leap of faith to DJ full time, I was chalet cleaning and this, that and the other. And then when I finally did, I must have been doing it for about, I took the leap of faith. And then I was like, oh shit, I've got rent to pay. Like, okay, so I really need to get some gigs. And then I started, you know, that kind of came quite quickly, luckily for me. But then about a year in, I was like, well, how much did I actually even earn this year? And, like, these invoices were, like, weirdly numbered, and there was, like, a kind of spreadsheet I didn't really fill in. And then came to, like, doing some tax forms, and I was like, oh my God, such a mess, such a mess. I was like, oh, bugger. And then obviously I have to fill it to deal with the self-employed stuff here in France as well is an absolute nightmare. So, it was a real kick up the arse, basically, to get myself in order. And then after, I've tried to follow on through. But yeah, I mean, even just for the marketing side of it and just putting yourself out there and getting the website and this, that and the other, it's crazy. You just have to have that mentality that you're a business. And, you know, you need to act professional, look professional, and have your back end in order, because otherwise it's just going to literally come back and haunt you in the most stressful way at the worst time, isn't it?
Right, totally. Totally. I've started being like really ruthless now, especially when like, you know, your mental health is tied up in all of this as well. So like, you know, the promotion side of that, any minute that I'm on Instagram, it's work.
Yeah.
Like, I've really had to like be very ruthless and be like, no idle scrolling, like get on, post your shit, fuck off again. Yeah. And you know, the same with Facebook, and because otherwise you lose so many hours. Yeah. And then you also start, you start comparing yourself to what other people are doing, and all you really want to do is get the message out there that like, I'm a mastering engineer and I'm doing some work, but you can really easily get lost down this rabbit hole. And I don't think that's good.
No, I am. I'm with you now. I don't really pay attention too much to Facebook anymore, other than I'm focused on the DJ side of things and the podcast and the retreat that I'm running. But other than that, I don't scroll through Facebook. Instagram, I might do that if I'm on a dog walk. But what I normally try to do while dog walking is do my Instagram post to get that out there, get the right hashtags. And so that's like a productive kind of semi-hour of Instagram. Generally, I don't post it. Only also because recently, since lockdown, it's been A, it's just a complete waste of time, and B, everyone's so negative. So it's not really, no one's got anything good to say, or I definitely don't have anything supportive to say about each other. Though I do try and look into like the 2% Rising group, try to follow my friends or people within the industry that I know are trying to do some form of like launch or something on various groups to add some comments to help with their reach. But generally, I tap out. A lot of friends are like, oh, did you see what I wrote on Facebook? I'm like, no, sorry. But they're like, oh, you're on it all the time. No, actually, I'm not. I'm trying not to be.
That's where it's hard. It's like, you know, when the other side of your life, like the non-music part of your life, are like, oh, yeah, but you're on Instagram. Or I always see your posts on Instagram. And you're like, yeah, I have to do that because it's work. And if I don't do that, I'm not going to get any work. But I really like, yeah, I feel quite strongly about like not, I don't know.
I saw a really good post today actually from, you know, the electro swing DJ producer, Emma Clare. I don't know if you've seen her. But she did a really nice post today about her Spotify account, and she kind of blanked out all what her stats were. And she put, oh, you know, there's no point in, for me personally, having the stats up there because actually it's irrelevant. I'm really happy with where I'm at in my career. I want to thank loads of these people for supporting me through the way, and I'm not interested in comparing myself to other people. And I was like, wow, that's cool. It's probably one of the nicest things I've seen today. And I think it's so important to not, like you were saying about the mental health side and comparing, and it's just not good. It's just not productive. Yeah. It's just not good for yourself.
I think everyone's on their own journey and everyone is different and wants different things and has a different idea of, you know, what success is to them. And it, you know, you really can't start comparing yourself to, like, you know, if I compared myself to Mandy Parnell, who's another mastering engineer who's mastered all of my favorite bands, you know, I probably wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Like, she's fucking awesome. I love her. But we are not the same. Like, it's not a comparison at all. Like, you know, she's been mastering for a long, long time. Her, you know, the industry was totally different when she started, and and I'm brand new. So it's one of them things where if, you know, I don't know, if you want to compare your streams to Lady Gaga, you're gonna feel like shit. But I think it's really important to celebrate, you know, I know there's this, that streaming is unfair and that's been in the news a lot lately, but I think it is really important to sort of celebrate, you know, people listening to your music, and I think that's awesome. But you're totally right, like, no comparisons, they're not cool.
No comparisons. And it's I mean, it's great to look up to people and admire what they're doing and appreciate it, but you know, you don't compare yourself. Just you know, give yourself a pat on the back for where you're at in your journey, basically. Yeah, you know,
give
yourself a break. You're doing really well, and it doesn't matter where you're at. Everybody's on their own little journey at different stages. different stages, different roads, like, you know, different cars, just how it is, isn't it? But especially with the social media, it's so difficult, like you say, to get drawn into all of that, and it's just not healthy.
But
the old live stream thing's quite funny, isn't it? I mean, I think it's great that people have got out there, and it really has brightened up a lot of people's days, you know, seeing their friends live stream, and now all of a sudden it's causing loads of problems. What's next? it's like the fun police are coming out to get everybody, isn't it? Okay, so moving on. So what's happening for you like now? Where is your business going? Have you got anything in the pipeline for after Christmas? What's happening your end? Any big projects? Or is it kind
of a really good question, actually? It's funny with mastering, sometimes you get told that you're not allowed to talk about a project, but generally there's this unwritten rule that you don't like speak about a project until it's been released, because so many things could change. Like, you know, they might decide that you did a shit job and get it remastered with someone else, or you know. And I think as well, like, it's, you know, mastering's a tiny part of it, and it's not the mastering engineer's news to share, so I can't really talk about what I am working on. But
sounds so secretive and exciting. Like,
it kind of is. It's so weird getting to hear music, but like months before you know it's going to be released. That's cool.
That is really cool.
But releases, I mean, every Friday, you know, there's lots of releases, but there's quite a special one coming out next week. It's the 11th of December anyway, and it's a side project from Public Service Broadcasting called Late Night Final, and it's a really special release. It's really beautiful, so I'm dead excited about that one. But I think kind of business-wise, like, there's been a lot of, you know, huge change. Like, I finished my job at the end of August after I'd worked my notice, and so yeah, just getting used to being freelance has been a massive thing. And then I started working with a manager 2 months ago, who's also a really good friend and someone who I've known for a long time. So it's getting used to that, getting used to sort of having more work on, I guess, and like more high profile work, because yeah, until I did Nadine's album like last November, I mean, I'd never worked on any like major label music, really. So that's pretty crazy.
Because you've worked with Emily Sandé, I saw that in your bio. And like you're saying, We Are the Scientists as well. I mean, they're pretty high profile, mate. Like,
high profile. Yeah, that's all kind of happened like this past like 3 or 4 months.
Wow. It,
like, things have just sort of taken off really quickly in a way that, you know, when you've been doing something a very long time and like everything's a really, really slow steps. And then all of a sudden lots of things happen and it's a bit overwhelming. That's kind of what the last few months have been like, but it's been good. So I think just sort of trying to adjust to that and like keep on learning, because like, you know, the more experienced people that you work with, the more you can learn from them, which is amazing, but they also expect a much higher you know, level of detail in the work, which is great, because, you know, it's a whole learning curve for me, and I really enjoy feeling like I'm progressing. But I think I don't want to get to the point where I'm like static and I've stopped learning. So for me, I think, you know, the first half of next year is going to be a lot of trying to up my game a bit skills wise, just practice a lot. And then Yeah, I mean, I don't know is like the honest answer to all of this, because, you know, as well as mastering being a really sort of quick game, it's, you know, we're still in a pandemic, so that's strange.
Yeah, that is true. It's very strange. But it sounds like you've been on a pretty much an amazing roller coaster ride with being freelance, which is very, very impressive. Have you got any advice for up and coming female sound engineers that want to go into mastering, or, you know, what advice would you give to the younger you?
So, like, mastering wise specifically, don't buy all of the plugins and then use them all just because you can, for sure. Like, you know, less is more. Let's be classy about this. You know, the first things I mastered, I literally just threw everything at the music because I could, which, you know, is not a great thing to do.
Let's be classy. Hashtag let's be classy about this.
I mean, you know, you sort of learn as you go along, as with anything. But yeah, I kind of would have liked someone to say to me, mate, you're doing well too much to this track and it doesn't need it. Like, slow down and have a listen. Okay. So that's one thing. And I think, get all of your bank accounts and your QuickBooks and your all of that shit just sorted, because it's going to save so much time. Like, it doesn't really matter what area of music you want to go into. I think having that stuff down is like so good. And, you know, when I changed to like invoicing through, so I use QuickBooks, but there's other things like that as well. I think there's one called Zero with an X, which is supposed to be really good too. You can see when invoices are due, because,
oh yeah,
like when, like, for example, with mastering, I can master 10 tracks in a day and each track is from a different artist, and so then if I'm sending 10 invoices every day of the week to 10 different people, I mean, you know, that's a bit of an exaggeration, because some days I'll work on an album which is just for one artist, but, you know, there are days when I work on 10 tracks for 10 different people. It can get really confusing to, like, see, you know, whether you've been paid. And I remember once when I just started, I was chasing the wrong person and they'd already paid their invoice and it was someone else that hadn't. I was like, oh my God, I look like such a dick. And obviously, you know, I had to hold my hands up and go, I'm really sorry, I don't have my shit sorted, clearly. But yeah, that was like a big lesson. But you can automatically chase things through QuickBooks and it goes straight to the correct person. <That's> rather than it goes to the wrong person.
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice. Because I don't think many people many women in the industry think about the whole invoicing side of things, and you know, especially when you're getting busier like you are, like 10 invoices a day, could you imagine? And then you're like, oh, who's paid me, who hasn't paid me? You had to sort through that for a whole month. Yeah, forget it. That's enough to kind of like shoot you in the head, isn't it? Like,
it's too much. Like, yeah. And it's one of those things where I really wish that people spoke about this.
Yeah,
but you know, when you talk to other engineers and all they want to talk about is the actual audio stuff, and that's great because that is totally the fun part, but the areas where I fucked up the most is like either forgetting to send invoices or doing my tax return wrong and then having to redo it, which wastes another day. And just stuff like that. It's really important that you get that stuff right. So yeah, I wish I'd tell myself, get that done. Make life as easy as possible so that you can enjoy the good shit.
That's amazing. That is so good. I mean, yeah, it's the unglamorous side of the lifestyle, isn't it? Invoicing. Woo. But yeah, so check out QuickBooks, ladies, if anybody wants to get their shit in order, basically. And like you say, it's better to start that way and carry it through than get to the point where you're in a little bit of a pickle and you're then researching on Google what to do.
Oh my God, it's so bad. Like, I remember I was at Abbey Road Studios for a networking event, and my mate Lauren Deacon Davies was there, and I was like, and we were just chatting, and I was like, she mentioned QuickBooks. And I said, oh my God, I've literally just got that. Can you please show me how to work it? Because I'm terrified of it. So we were in the middle of Abbey Road and she was giving me a quick lesson on QuickBooks, which is the least glamorous thing ever. But like, oh my God, she saved my life because, like, yeah.
So useful. So useful. Excellent. So how can people get in contact with you then? What's your Instagram?
My Instagram's at Katie Tabini. My website's katietabini.co.uk. And if people want to talk about mastering, my email is katie@katietabini.co.uk. I'm not very good on the Insta DMs, I'm afraid. Terrible at it, basically.
Yeah, you and me both. I look back and I'm like, oh, there's messages from like last month from someone, like a request.
Yeah.
So the best thing is to pop you an email or via the website. And I suppose if there's any women out there that want to join the 2% Rising group on Facebook, get involved. It's probably one of the best best groups I think I've been involved in so far. And it's so friendly.
Awesome. Thanks. Love.
No worries. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It's been really nice to chat.
Yeah, it's been really informative, and there's a great bit of advice out there for up and coming women. Excellent. Well, take care, and the podcast will go out on, I think it's a week on Thursday, which is exciting. I don't know what the date is for that. I'll have to have a look at the calendar. What date? Oh, we're on the 3rd today, if anyone is worried. So this is going to go out on the 17th. Of December, and it'll go out on a Thursday. So if anybody's interested in checking us out, we're Hustle Industry Advice for Women in Music, and we're on Spotify. Excellent. Right, take care, Katie, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks so much. See you later.
See you later. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Hustle Industry Advice for Women in Music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love and good vibes always. See you next week.